Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Handling the Heat, the podcast by RestaurantEquipment.biz, where we dive into the real stories behind the people powering the food service industry. On today's episode, I'm joined by Amanda Clark, the self-taught cake artist and founder of Tipsy and Baked, a business born from necessity, fueled by creativity, and built through design-driven storytelling. We talk about how she's navigating the fast-moving world of brand collaborations, viral moments, and digital marketing while keeping artistry at the center of everything she does. From launching out of a 200-square-foot apartment to creating show-stopping cakes for major brands and events, Amanda shares what it's like building a business from scratch in real time, balancing design vision, client expectations, and the realities of entrepreneurship in a world that never stops scrolling. Amanda, thank you so much for joining us here on Handling the Heat. Super excited to chat about Tipsy and Baked.
Yeah, excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Cool. Amanda, we ask everybody, but what's something you've eaten recently that you've really enjoyed?
I think recently I just went to Masara. I'm probably saying that wrong, on Park for my friend's birthday. And it was a really good Italian restaurant. Everything was really good. And of course, we shared everything, which was the way to go. Lots of small plates and pastas to chew on. So really good.
Yeah. It's a fun group birthday dinner. So Amanda, I've been following Tipsy and Baked for quite some time now because we actually have purchased a cake from you for my fiance's birthday last year, which was delicious with the nice chamomile flowers and beautiful decorations. But can you talk to me a little bit, Amanda, about your start baking, just maybe recreationally before you got into, you know, doing it more professionally?
Yeah, so I pretty much was always a baker growing up. I loved baking. I think my mom and grandma were big bakers. Growing up, we had a baking cabinet. Like, there was a closet that was dedicated to all baking supplies. So I think that really nurtured my creativity in the kitchen, you know, whether it was like experimenting with fondant back in the day when that was more of the trendy thing to use on cakes, or just different piping bags and different tips. My mom always had that stuff in the kitchen. So I was always playing around and experimenting with that stuff. I'm an amateur baker. I'm self-taught, did not go to pastry school. And most recently, I just started it, and people have really taken a liking to it. So we've been diving into it. I think there's still a lot to learn, but it's just been something that I've always enjoyed doing and kind of, I guess you could say, I have a natural talent for.
Totally. So with Tipsy and Baked, obviously you have this love for pastry, right? For cooking, for baking. How did it become something that was, you know, more legitimized? Like, how did it go from like, oh, I'm cooking or I'm baking cookies for my friends, to now let me go bake cakes for brands and like actually put myself out there? It's a totally, you know, big jump.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty crazy when you ask, like, you're like, when did it start? I think there's like a few answers to that. Like, Tipsy and Baked was an Instagram account that I started back in COVID just for funsies. I feel like I was always cooking and baking. So it was real, and mixology. And it was kind of a combination of all of those interests. And I just started the Instagram account like for myself to kind of document like things I made. I was like, oh, damn, that came out really good. I don't remember how I did this. And really, you know, I didn't post that much or do much on it. And then unfortunately, I was let go at my last job a little bit, actually a year ago today, like October 10th, I think it'll be a year that I was let go. And I had some friends and they're like, you know, you have a talent for this, like fuck corporate, like go do your own thing. And he was kind of like, why don't you come private chef at dinner for us? That was really kind of a little bit of ignition of like, let's get some business cards and just get a logo. So I was just quickly in Canva, like, let's put something together. I tend to be a perfectionist. And I was like, oh, I want the branding to be so good. And the branding is still a work in progress. But it was like, let's just do it. He had me go. And that was the first time that I had been paid, you know, if anyone was paying me to like bake or cook something for them. And I put together this whole private chef meal for them. And from there, it was mostly people ordering cakes. And it was just friends of friends. It wasn't anything like crazy. I was still like, oh, am I looking for another job? What am I doing? And then in the spring last year, or this current year, this spring, like, I don't know, 6 months ago, one of my friends, she was co-hosting or co-putting on Everything But the Dress event, which was this bridal pop-up in the West Village. And, I thought, maybe I'll just text her, see if they want some cookies. And she responded to me and was like, why don't you be a part of the event? And that really, to me, is kind of the starting point of, like, this became something bigger than I thought it was going to be, in that I had external people that I've never met, strangers reaching out, ordering cakes, and, like, really putting myself out there in like a much more vulnerable way, legitimate way.
No, that's great. And I think having those people in your corner also who give you the confidence to go put yourself out there, like your friend who said, hey, come put on this, you know, private dinner, private chef event. And Caroline, who I also know, who you know, had you come do that Everything But the Dress event. I think having those kinds of people in your corner to allow you the confidence to put yourself out there is super important, especially when it's something that you've never really done before in that kind of way.
Well, it was just kind of crazy when she was like, come be a part of the event. And she was like, we love your stuff. And I was like, I feel like I don't even have that much stuff on here. Like, wow, you guys are trusting me to be a part of this. And it was like, you know, I have so much gratefulness for them because that is what really launched it. And like from there, things started to snowball of just like networking and meeting people. And, you know, I've lived in New York now 4 years and I never felt networked the way it had then. I don't know if that'll lead into some other questions too, but it's like, you said having those people that believe in you and support you, it really means a lot because I think I'm not professionally trained. I don't think my stuff's that great. Like I'm a perfectionist and it's like, I don't know people, but everyone's like, no, we like it. And it's like, okay, I'll believe it. And
totally.
It's exciting that I believe in you.
I think I totally agree. Amanda, one of the things that I really appreciate about your cakes in particular are how design forward they are. And I think you put a lot of your perfectionist, as you said, you put a lot of emphasis on the brand, the how you present yourself. And I think that comes across in your cakes. So I'm curious, can you talk me through when you're making a cake? What is the process for you? Because you're such a design forward thinker, right? And like the way it's presented is, I mean, to be totally transparent, Amanda, I'm not the biggest sweet tooth type of person. But yeah. I can appreciate the beauty of a well-designed cake and a well-baked cake. So can you talk me through a little bit about like what your process is from when somebody puts in an order through to, you know, delivering that cake to whoever ordered it?
Yeah, I love that question. I think there's a lot of different components that go in. I mean, the first thing is who's ordering it? Like what context are we in? Like, do I personally know them? Do I know their style? I think a lot of times if I know somebody, I know their personal style, I can kind of incorporate that into the design. But someone I'm meeting for the first time, it's context. Like, where is the cake going to be? What are we celebrating? Do you have a Pinterest board, a mood board? Like, what is your aesthetic? And kind of incorporating all of that into the design. And I think for Casey, everyone's like, she loves like the light yellow. She wanted flowers and girly. So I was like, okay, let's do something with the yellow, a little bit more classic design. Because to me, I always think I can kind of box the two designs into two. It's like you have like the more vintage and classic, or you're going more like abstract. So that was a more vintage classic design, and you could put the flowers on that were fun. I think one thing that I have been trying to do more too is I've, you know, entered a new industry is plug myself more into like interior design, fashion, you know, trends that you're also seeing in the wedding space. And you can add all of that together into when you're creating a cake. I think whether, you know, it's in fashion or interior design or wedding design, they all overlap, right? Fashion reflects interior design can reflect what you're seeing in fashion. And I think the same thing goes for when you're making a cake. Those are all reflected within each other. So looking at what different things are trending, obviously you don't want to be like overly trendy and just following trends, but I think that definitely can go into inspiring designs. I think about, I did a large birthday cake that was like three tiers and it was at Silver Linings Lounge. And I think whenever I do design, I want to make something that people haven't seen before. I think you see a lot of designs that sometimes get repetitive, but anything with art, it's like you want someone to kind of pause and think, oh, I haven't seen that before. And like it makes you stop. So people give me full creative freedom. I'm like, let me make something that's totally unique for you and that hasn't been done before. And for her birthday, she had sent me like a classic vintage style cake, but I was like, that's going to be beautiful and gorgeous. But like, let's do something people haven't seen before. And I looked at Silver Linings. They have this gorgeous wallpaper that's like line drawings all over it. And I was like, let's incorporate that into the cake. So we did like a dark blue cake and I did like piping of all the abstract designs on it. So I think, you know, setting like where the cake is going to be can really inspire what it's going to look like too.
It sounds like your creative process, especially with your influences being outside of the cooking world, is really the forefront of the whole baking process. And obviously one place where that really comes to mind is the wedding space. And with the event for Everything But the Dress, from when you sent that text, say, okay, now I've been doing these kind of like birthday cakes, I've been baking for friends, I've been baking for family, and now like a wedding cake, which is such a component of getting married. And like, you know, my parents had a wedding cake in their freezer for ages. And I have friends who still have wedding cakes, you know, in their freezer from their weddings in years past. So can you talk a little bit about after you kind of got signed on to Everything About the Dress, especially because this is your beginning of your, you know, more formalized professional, here I am as Tipsy and Bake, not just Amanda who's baking. talk through a little bit about what that meant for you and then like how you went from that initial conversation through to the actual event itself.
Yeah. I mean, it was, again, I think whenever working with brands or an event, it's trying to understand like how do the desserts fit into it. I think in general, cakes are like it's a decorative moment, right? If you have a party or an event, you're buying balloons, you're getting decorations. I think a cake is a focal point of an event, right? So same thing, even at Everything But the Dress, I had cakes on display and those were to add to the overall vibe and curation of the event as well. It's like an art piece, something for people to look at, and also an opportunity for me to like display the different types of styles of cakes that I do. And there was also understanding like, okay, this is Everything But the Dress. We want to say like, okay, what else is here? Cake artists, people that you can hire for, you know, your wedding cake. So a big part one is not only visually, but the taste. So we did tastings every day and it was like, how does that fit in? People, we had a bar and people could come up and get a little sample of cake. And that's also important. Like if you're going to get a cake, you're spending all this money on it. Better be freaking good, right? It's going to be one of the last people eat at your wedding and you want it to end on a sweet note. So it was really fun to do the cake samplings every day too. And you get that light, people are like, wow, this is really good. And that's what kind of sells people on you as well. Like you're going to create something beautiful, but something that also tastes really good. And when it came to designing those cakes, it was looking at like the WED and different bridal publications of what is trending in bridal design right now, just overall, and either like the space, like how are people designing these weddings, what colors are trending, and then and you've seen a huge revival in the vintage cakes, obviously, but also there's some modern cakes. So like one, for example, one of them was like really big vintage design. You see the columns coming back and you also see chrome coming back. So one of my favorite cakes I did, I call like the Chrome Angel. It was like this really dramatic vintage cake with like, I got pillars that I spray painted silver and I did little cherub angels in chocolate that were also dusted in chrome. So to me, it was combining the vintage with the silver, with the piping, but also kind of being avant-garde, something that was like totally different and kind of funky, but you know, looking at different trends and different aspects and having that there. And with Everything With the Dress, it was like having the cakes on display, doing the cake tastings, and sitting down with Caroline saying like, what makes sense for this event? It was like, let's have something sculptural and interesting for people to look at. Let's also bring them in and give them something to try that's also an experience at the event, but also an opportunity for people to like try the cakes.
Yeah, that's a lot of baking though, to do cake tastings every day for multiple days for an event.
Yeah, I like didn't sleep that week. It was a lot. Like I think all the vendors were exhausted, but I think I was the only person that was going home and then also baking each night before the next day. So we would leave, I think we were there for like 8 hours plus maybe a day, and then I would go home and maybe like wake up at like 5 a.m bake the cake, frost it, and then bring it. So I had like sheet cakes, so there wasn't like decorations that I had to do, but it was still like baking the cakes, which was every day, which was kind of a lot, but you know, it was worth it.
So speaking of baking at home, Amanda, I recently watched a video where you were interviewed for living in a super small studio apartment in New York City. And they gave you a lot of kudos for your design of your apartment, which I think is representative in how you talk about your cakes and your influence on the design of the cakes. But how do you, especially when you're getting, you know, inquiries or orders, are you baking all of your cakes in your apartment?
Right now, yes. So I do like to say I have a kitchen in Connecticut, aka my parents' house. So I've had, you know, a few weddings that have been in Connecticut. So, and they have, you know, a normal full-size big suburban kitchen. So I've gone there to do some stuff, but right now everything is done in my 200 square foot apartment. I like to say I have an easy bake oven.
Is it 200 square feet?
I think so. I don't know. I feel like in the video they measured it and they said like 200. I don't know. I think it is that small. So my desk has turned into like, you know, I have a ladder desk that has all the supplies on it now. I have a pop-up table that'll pop up and put at the end of my, you know, my bed area here. So I have more counter space. And then, you know, I have an island, which is, so I have to say the counter space I have, I think is pretty decent and good. I think for any size apartment, considering I have like kitchen area and then I have like an island and then I have another pop-up table, but it is definitely tight. I think looking at maybe some commercial space is something that I'm thinking about in the future, but we're not quite financially there yet where it makes sense.
Sure. It's impressive. Yeah. I feel like I mean, my apartment is not much bigger than 200 square feet, but, you know, I think it's, I'm also not, you know, baking for a full-time
job. Yeah, and there's
job.
No dishwasher. So it is
all by hand. It's a labor of love.
So yeah, people are like, it's this much. And I'm like, well, girl, if I had a dishwasher, maybe I would take $5 off the cakes. But you know what I mean? That is, we got to include that labor in there too. It's like, I feel like I bake and then I clean. I bake and I clean. I bake and I clean. So you know, I tell myself every time I do it, I'm like, one day we're going to have a nice big space. So
yeah,
it'll be worth
it. We can not touch all the walls when you stand in the middle of the room. So Amanda, talk to me a little bit about the scale of your business now, because I think what's interesting, especially for you, is like some kind of offhanded initially where it's like, oh, I'll pay you for a cake for my birthday, but I'm your friend and, you know, whatever. And then you get something like Everything But the Dress in the springtime earlier, and that springboards you into like professional Tipsy and Baked. How many cakes and kind of what's the breakdown of that for you today in terms of like X number of birthday cakes, Y number of brand activations, et cetera?
Yeah. So I think what was a little bit of a challenge is this summer I did pause things for July and August, which was a little bit nerve-wracking, but I did that because I have another business to kind of make sure I'd be financially in a good space as I, you know, take this risk and to start my own business and full diving into it. But I think it's been about one brand activation a week, if not two. And there's been times too where it's like New York Fashion Week, New York Bridal Fashion Week is coming up, where there's usually four or more, which is a lot. So those are big scale projects, which are taking on a lot more. I think at the most I've had like 8 or 10 birthday cakes in one weekend, which is a lot to do in a small space. So each week is kind of ebbing and flowing, which has been okay with me though, because I'm like, I sometimes need a little bit of a break. I feel like my friends have been joking, they're like, you're a workaholic. You need to relax for a second. But what's been exciting is everything has been inbound so far. And I know there's still a lot to do with my social media and a lot of outbound I want to do to brands and stuff too. But it's been exciting to see like that steady flow of business coming from word of mouth of like, you do one birthday cake a weekend, you know, or to one person. And there's like that branch effect of like,
totally,
they were cake, and then the friend orders a cake, and then it's like, oh, I had this cake. And I think it's been exciting too in the 6-7 months that I've been doing it. I've already had customers that are repeat like 2 or 3 times too.
Wow. That's a testament to the, you know, the baking and the cakes that you're putting forth, is that, you know, you're getting those repeat customers. I think that loyalty is super impressive.
And that's exciting to see. And it's hard. You know, talking to someone, they're like, you know, obviously there's marketing agents, but it's like when your product speaks for itself, that is like so much of marketing. And I think it's hard. It's like you're a lot of pressure of like, this needs to taste good. This needs to look beautiful, because if it's not, you're going to lose business. People aren't going to spread the word or whatever, help you grow, because it's not, you know, it's nothing special. So it's like each time it's like every cake that needs to go out really does need to be perfect, because that's one, someone's buying it, your customers are everything, and then, you know, word of mouth.
Yeah, totally. And the fact that it's all inbound, I think too, is super impressive. What was, Amanda, is it all through like Instagram, TikTok?
Yeah, I think that's just been the craziest thing. That I'll be like, someone pick up a cake and I'm like, how'd you find me? They go, TikTok. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you just saw me on TikTok and you're like, let me order a cake from this girl, which has been pretty crazy. And even, you know, it's crazy. Even I was sitting down somewhere at a coffee shop, or not a coffee shop, it was at a hotel like area that they had like co-working space kind of. And I started talking to this brand, and literally that weekend they ordered a cake, and it was a pretty big order because it was for their production team. They do like producing of music videos and stuff. And I remember their teammate coming to pick up the cake and they're like, I don't see the storefront. Where are you? And I'm like, oh, I'll be right out. Like, there isn't a storefront. But it's crazy that it's like, if you just go sit somewhere and you're chatting with someone, like that could lead to a sale. Or yeah, just Instagram, TikTok. It's crazy the power that social media has.
What was the biggest name that came across? Like, what was the biggest, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're reaching out to me, DM that you got, or order inquiry that you got?
So not to name drop, but I guess we're gonna name drop. I think Charli D'Amelio. So yeah, that was really crazy. That was also during New York Fashion Week. So that week was pretty exciting. It was her closing show for And Juliet. So one of her friends who's putting together a charcuterie board and everything was like, we want custom cookies. So I also do custom cookies. I have to say those I love doing, but they're so even more labor intensive than cakes that I'm like, I'd like to do them, but, you know, stick to more cakes. But anyways, those were really cute because they were custom playbills and then like the custom logo heart cookies. So that was crazy. And then in that same week, she then had like her manager or, you know, this girl who was reaching out for her, reach out to order another cake for her manager. So Charli D'Amelio made like, basically, I made cookies for her on whatever was Tuesday or Monday night. And then on Friday, she had a cake for her manager that she also had, which I was like, that was pretty crazy. I was like, girl, can I get a picture of you with all those? And Solid Chord also reached out for a cake, which was pretty cool. A lot of different fitness brands have reached out. So
that's ironic.
I know. That's what I was saying. I was like, I need like a page of just like fitness brands I've worked with, but I'm like, good, you need to work out and eat your cake.
So. Wow, that's so cool. I feel like from the videos that I've seen, you are working with people that you are fans of, right? Like Charli D'Amelio, the fact that you want, I mean, you know, who wouldn't want a photo of their product with Charli D'Amelio? Right. But, you know, the fact that like you are not necessarily starstruck, but like a fan of her or, you know, some of these other brands that you're working with, I think is pretty cool and almost speaks for the brand itself. Like there is no Canva graphic that you can create that allows you to be able to create a brand that is who you are and is authentic to the interest that you have, Amanda. What would be your ideal cake that you'd want to make for a brand? Like, what is your, like, as a fan of the game and like reading all your fashion influences and, you know, architecture, design, whatever else, like, what would be the ideal cake that you'd want to, who would you want to bake for, I guess?
I think definitely some of the big like fashion houses, but I think the first one that comes to my mind, and this was, I had a friend whose girlfriend owned like a nice thing and they did a party for them. It was for Kourtney Kardashian for her like vitamin brand. And I was like, I would have loved to be at that launch party to make her cake. Cause I feel like if you make anything for their Kardashians, like you made it. Like, so I think if I could make a cake, like especially for the brand too, like obviously they want to make their kids' birthday cake or any of their birthday cakes, I would be excited. But I think moving like the brand stuff is what's exciting to like translate their brand into cake as an art form and a centerpiece of an event, I think would be really, really cool. And I had this vision of like doing little gummies all over the cake or like, you know, making the gummies out of chocolate. So not everybody's like, so if someone doesn't get a slice of cake and they're getting like 5 milligrams.
Vitamin C.
Oh, yeah. Overdose of melatonin or whatever. But, you know, you can make it out of chocolate and like have those like a really artistically like cool cake that, I don't know.
It's cool that you are, it's interesting that your brain goes directly to like, how would I translate this to a cake? Not how can I make this connection to Kourtney Kardashian? And I think that's interesting too. And speaking of being able to translate a brand to a cake, I want to talk about the brand Pickle and the hem cake that you pulled together for their party. So can you talk to me a little bit about how that project came about, what happened? Because I saw that there were some viral moments as a result of that.
There is some lore there to the cake. So Pickle, I actually got connected with them at Everything But the Dress. So again, like I said, that was such a launching point. Like I think getting connected with the right people and the different vendors there, getting to meet them. Pickle reached out. They're like, we love your stuff. We want to use you for our events. And since then, I've built a really great relationship with them where they've been continuing to use me for all of their influencer events, which is also huge to be able to, you know, I personally don't feel like I know that many influencers. So I go to the events, I'm like, I don't know who these people are, but it's been great to get to know them because it's like, they're an influencer. And in today's marketing, an influencer posts your cake, you're going to get orders. There's a social proof. So they had, this was also New York Fashion Week. They had an influencer dinner at Maison Clothes. And it's been fun to work with them is they give me full creative freedom. And I love when clients do that because I think that that's honestly when I do my best work. Like, obviously, again, with creating that design, it was like, what is the theme of the dinner? New York Fashion Week. It was like, I love New York. Giving the venue, I was like, we're going to do a pickle green cake. We need to incorporate the green. I'd done some cakes for them before that I had like little mini pickles on it. I was like, that's getting a little overdone. Maybe we can lean away from that. And I had seen this gem cake design on Pinterest. Like, I love Pinterest. I think it's a great source to look for inspiration. I never try to recreate things exactly, but it's a great place to get inspiration from other cake artists in different areas or just, again, like fashion, anything beautiful you can kind of incorporate into cake. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do the gems. I want to do something big because it needs to be a wow. Like, my mentality when working with the brand or anything is like, you can't go small. And I think that's one thing that's been hard of like, I think of it as your marketing budget, right? You're giving a set amount of budget, but in my head, I'm like, I can do something small that, you know, maybe I can save more money, more profitable, but it's not going to have as much of a wow effect. Had I not done like this huge 4-tier cake, would it have gone viral? Probably not. I think it went viral because it was such like a crazy cake to see that it was like, what is that? And I guess the lore of it is, and why it went viral is, it was a styrofoam cake. So one thing that I, you know, I own, it's not a secret. I do prop cakes, they're called. So Everything But the Dress, there are a lot of prop cakes. Some people, brides will use those for events. You'll use those because it doesn't always make sense to have a real cake, but you still want that wow moment. So it'll be a lot less wasteful than making something that's all real cake. And then I also did like, you know, little cake on the side for people, but it was a 4-tier cake, styrofoam. And then I forgot the guy's name is S-E-R or something. He's like a pretty famous like influencer. The cake they'd use in a photo shoot, and then it was in the trash. It was supposed to come back to me for more content, but that's fine. It was in the trash. He took a picture of it, posted his Instagram story. I saw all these other people reposting it. I got someone sent it to me. I was like, oh my God, that's my cake. And I was like, I have not posted this to my Instagram. I haven't posted this cake at all. Nobody's even going to know it's my cake. Second note, as a business owner, I should have had branding on my cake box. And I look back and that is something I'm working on. Every box, there should have been a giant sticker on that box of Tipsy and Baked. So when he snapped that picture, even though he didn't tag me, people would know where it's from. So learning moment there. But I was like, all right, let me just post this to TikTok. Literally just like, what do we call it? B-roll footage, like just totally as is, like posted it to TikTok, didn't edit it at all, just clicked a song that seemed like it went with it. And all of a sudden it blew up. And people start commenting like, who else saw this in the trash can? Like, is this real? Are the gems edible? So I think it caused like a little bit of like maybe minor controversy or drama that people were like, what's going on? But also I think in general, the overall sentiment was like, wow, that's really beautiful. Like, I want that as my cake. And then people also were drawing like connections to it to other brands. So I think it was timing. And I said, fuck it, and posted it. And, you know, I got lucky and it went viral. And now I'm like, okay, we need to keep riding that because who knows what that can lead to.
Do you know how many orders you've gotten since that, as a result of that?
So from that video, I think I got about 30 increase. So pretty good. And then, you know, yeah. And hopefully people saved it and they're waiting to reach out and stuff. But I think the biggest thing was like, I got so many followers on TikTok that I didn't have before. I mean, not that many. It's like, but you know, it is a lot to me. I had like 200 before. It was like none. And then at that moment, we're like 3,000 now. And then same thing. People went to Instagram and started following my account there too, which is huge.
Wow. That's great. And I think what's cool, Amanda, about how you're talking about your Tipsy and Baked journey so far is it's a lot of like, feel so passionately about the cakes. And I'm learning about all these like branding, marketing. How can I connect this to this crowd? How can I work with this brand? It's like, so rooted in your love of cakes and baking versus the other way around. I feel like a lot of businesses, and you could tell it's inauthentic, where it's like, we have to go viral. How do we go viral? Versus, let me just put out this cool cake for a brand that I am a fan of and I have a connection to, and then see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely did not intend for that. I mean, I'm glad it did. I think anytime you post something, you're like, I hope it goes viral, but
totally.
Was not expecting that at all. Yeah.
Totally. So Amanda, I'm curious. So you have some great momentum, obviously, going viral, going from 200 to 3,000 followers, regardless of the scale, is massive. You're working with super high profile clients like Charli D'Amelio, Pickle, other brands, New York Fashion Week, Idol Fashion Week. Where do you see Tipsy and Baked going over the next year to 2 years?
Yeah, it's a really great question and something that I've been excited about where I don't know. Like, I have ideas and it's crazy. I'm like, do I open a bakery? Do I open a storefront? I've toyed with the idea of getting a space that can be kind of an experiential space that I can work with brands and they can rent out, but I have my own kitchen space. I don't know if it's like opening a full-fledged bakery. I think now that, you know, I'm closed on my other business and I have some more time to really focus on it, it's like, getting really clear on my brand, getting really clear on like what it is that like I really want to focus in on. I think as you start, you take on a lot of different clients and trying to niche down on like what my style is. I think there's a lot of cake artists you see and it's like you recognize their stuff right away. And sometimes I'm like, is it not good that I don't have a clear, I think my style is like maximalist and stuff, but I don't know if you'd see a cake, you know that I didn't necessarily. But I think growing the brand, obviously I love doing cakes for people, but I think I want to move towards more brands and events and like experiential marketing, brand activation, stuff like that. I think is really exciting where you get to really work with like an event designer on the whole event and also the bridal space. I think when I originally started, I was like scared to do bridal because I was like, I'm scared of bridezillas, but I haven't had that yet. I've gotten to work with some really amazing and innovative event designers and it's really exciting to be part of like those events and you see their mood board and you're like, how can I create a cake that fits into this? It also stands out. So where do we go? I don't know. I mean, I think the biggest focus on continuing to build the brand, like continue to be more present on social media, which I think is a lot harder than said. It's like post, but I think I'm a little bit ADHD. And I think sometimes posting videos can seem daunting or just like fall to the side. So I think definitely building up my social media presence more. There's so many cakes I haven't posted, you know, really defining the brand more and just continuing to work with exciting brands and continue to make beautiful cakes for individuals as well. But I don't know where the next year is going to take me, but I think I'm actually really excited and okay and like focus on being open-minded with the different opportunities that can come from this. Like when I did everything about the dress, like, I had no clue it would lead to all this in like 6 months, you know? So I think seeing where things go. I don't know if it's going to be a bakery. I don't know if it's going to be experiential space. I don't know. And I'm okay with that. And I'm excited by that. And I think the amount of support and networking and from different female founders has been like one of the most amazing and like best parts of this is like the network that I feel like I've been able to build. So excited to keep relationships too.
That's great. I think community is important, but obviously with like the unknown, it's scary, but exciting. So I'm super happy for you, Amanda. I think it's been great to watch your journey so far, and I'm excited to see where it goes. And we'll have to have you back on at some point to see, because if the last 6 months has been any indication, you're going to be, you'll definitely be making Kardashian vitamin cakes in no time. Well, thank you so much, Amanda. Appreciate your time, and we'll chat with you soon.
All right. Thanks so much.